Blog Talk Radio.
Come in and say, hey, John Wall,
You know, this is what you say. This is what you do. Hey, Bradley Beal, this is how you do it. And they don't have that. There's no one on the roster except the coach. And, you know, the coach's job is way different. I mean, he's a CEO for the team. So Grunfeld put this team together. I think his head should fall on the chopping block. I've been saying it since day one. The other thing is this team is not a tough team. Some of the injuries that they've had, I know Walls was legit, but there were other guys who were out, you know, for several games and just kind of just missed games for whatever reason. And I just don't think it's a very hungry team. So to me, they've got to get an athletic big man, which Super Referee Craig Muckle and I have been saying forever. There are athletic big men out there. Kawhi Leonard's out there. He's a free agent, and he wants to move. So that's the number one guy, the Wizards. But can they afford him? No, not if they keep Otto Porter. So they're going to have to break up their own big three. The other thing they have to do is they have to strengthen the bench, and they have to get veteran leadership on the bench, and they have to get tougher players, guys that are okay with fouling someone and getting fouled, and they just don't have that. So they got to go out and find it. They got to find hungry guys, too. Ty Lawson, you know, they signed him to a late contract, 10-day deal. And Ty's hungry. You know, he's overseas playing. He's away from home, not making the same money. He's hungry, and you could see him flying around for loose balls. That's the kind of guy that you want on the team, and they don't have it. Now, will they get rid of him? We don't know. We'll see. So that's one thing. We could talk about the Wizards all day long, but let me move over to the Caps, who are reeling. So don't be fooled by the Caps going down 0-2 to Toronto. And then kind of sweeping them 4-2, so that was great, but they ran right into Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh is 9-1, not in games, but in series. In series, they have won 9 series to the Caps 1. That right there, sports psychiatrist, I'm telling you right now, because how do you tell a team? I mean, you've played 10 series, you've only won one of them. That means you got a 10% chance. I mean, that's not even good in baseball. So they go out the other night. Ovechkin scores right away. Kuznetsov scores right away. Within the first 2 minutes of the game, they're winning 2-0. And, you know, Caps Nation knew what was going to happen next. Second period, nothing. There's no scoring on either side. Third period, here come the Penguins. Here come the Penguins, and they win it 3-2. I mean, Brendan Holtby had a good game, but there was little defense. And the team, I don't want to say they looked tired. They just looked like it's from the neck up, that there's some sort of anxiety around success. That's what I think it is. I think the Caps fear. I think they fear success because they haven't had any. And when you don't get any, you lose confidence. And when you don't have confidence, it's kind of hard. You know, if I do this radio show every week and it doesn't go well, or at least I think it doesn't go well, then I'm probably not going to keep doing it. But it goes well, or at least I think it goes well. And that's what the Caps need. They need to think that things are going to go well and that it'll happen. They don't think that way, and so they struggle. So that was a terrible loss, 3-2. Go back for game 2 tonight, but if you're in that locker room and you're taking your stick and just kind of tapping it on the floor, you're probably thinking, here we go again with the Caps. So we definitely could talk about that. Now, Barry Trotz, to me, is fighting for his job. He knows that. So you would think that Barry Trotz would say, you know, let me let me get going. But Trotz has not he needs to do some sort of passionate speech or something to save his job, and I just don't think it's going to happen. So we could talk about the Caps all day long, but we'll move on to the Nationals. So the Nationals, just by record alone, they are 11-15. 11, that is not what we expected. We expected the Nats, that's how many games? That's about 26 games. So we expected the Nats to be more like 22-4. 20-6, 11-15. So you got to ask the question right off the bat. There are two questions that jump out right away. One, Martinez, the manager. I mean, is this guy the right guy? And I'm not saying don't be patient. You got to be patient. You know, those of us that have been doing this game for a long time, we know it takes patience. This manager, I'm sure he knows baseball, but he's new to being a manager. He's inexperienced, and so with inexperience, you gotta ride him out. But there are millions of dollars on the line, and I just don't know. You had Dusty Baker sitting right there, an experienced hand. This guy's 11-15. Now, here's the threat. If you don't win, why would Bryce Harper stay here? And teams are going to throw $500 million at Bryce Harper. Why wouldn't he go to the Miami Marlins? Who cares? They'll never win a World Series. Who cares? He's making $500 million. Why wouldn't he go to Chicago where his buddy, his childhood friend is playing? They just won a World Series. Why wouldn't he go there? Why wouldn't he go to, you know, the New York market? Why wouldn't he go to L.A.? So, to me, it's just, you know, I'm very, very concerned. Traditionally, this team, since moving from Montreal, when they've had a losing record in April, did not make the playoffs. It's a little-known statistic, but it's a true one. Losing record in April, no playoffs for the Nats. So they got an issue. So, hey, we could talk about the Nats all day long. All I can say is keep monitoring them. Now, fortunately, they're not that far out of the hunt. So that's the good news, is the other teams, you know, they're probably about 4 or 5 games behind the Mets right now. I mean, they're okay, but got to be careful. So here's our pay attention topic for today, and it's still local sports. All right, so there is one team that has some hope in D.C. The problem is no one knows it. It's the Washington Valor. That's right. Who is the Washington Valor? The Washington Valor is they're no longer an expansion team, but last season was their first year in D.C. They play in the Arena Football League, play right at Capital One Arena. They've already lost a game, so for those of you that don't know, they've already had their season opener. They're 0-1. They lost their season opener to the Baltimore Brigade, which, by the way, Ted Leonsis owns both teams. So, in a way, he kind of won and he lost. But they lost their opener 61-56. They played a night. They played the Philadelphia Soul, who is a perennial power in arena football. So, for those of you that don't know anything about arena football, it is football played indoors. It does not have 11-on-11 like a regular American football. It's kind of 7-on-7. So if you ever see guys doing like a pickup game just out at the park, it's kind of that with equipment and indoors. So it's a fun game, fast-paced, dangerous game. So they played Seoul tonight. They'll probably lose that because, again, Philadelphia is really good. And then they go on to their season opener, which, again, is at Capital One Arena, and they play Albany, the Albany Empire. So I don't know anything about the Albany Empire. All I know is this. This team could start out 0-3 and be lumped in with the Wizards, Caps, and Nats. So I will say this. It you would think it's a cheap night out. The lowest ticket price is $12. But, you know, you look at a family of four, $12, that's $50. If you park and eat, you're over $100. Probably cheaper to go to the movies. The movie's probably better. So it's really not a cheap night out. But arena football, if that's your thing, it's not quite my thing. I mean, I love football, but this is not football as I know it. This is more of a kind of a gimmick. I think it's good for those guys that are small and fast and kind of want to keep playing. But at the end of the day, this isn't it's an entirely different game from the game we know and love. So, Washington Valor, check them out. Just go to, I guess, the Monumental Sports website, and you can find them over there. And give it a try. Give it a try, see what happens. So that is our pay attention topic for this week. When we get back, we got to talk all things draft. A lot of you out there may not even know the number of hours of television that are put into the draft. So forget the pregame and postgame hype. But, you know, Thursday night, first round starts at 8 o'clock. 32 teams, they've got 15 minutes to pick. So that can be a long night. Then last night was second round, you know, and it's about the same thing, not 15 minutes, but it's close. So it's a long time. It could be a long evening. Then today, they kind of go right through them. So Battle of Steel, all the thunder. We'll be back. We're gonna have Chuck send us out with some music, and we'll come back. We'll Fit with Joy. We'll come in, and we'll do some education around the NFL draft. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. We do need money. It was funny, last week I was with my daughter Fallon, and I said, "Who's your favorite musical artist whose letter starts with the letter C?" And we were just playing a game, like a mental game. And I forgot who she said, but I said Chuck Brown, and she said, "Who?" I thought that was pretty funny. So, of course, I had to play her some Chuck music. So, hey, we're back. This is Coach Howard. We're back on the Extra Points Radio Show. And, you know, part of being fit is being mentally fit. You don't want to go out to the summer barbecue or be out in August down in Ashburn or Richmond with your burgundy and gold T-shirt on and not know what you're talking about when you talk NFL draft. So we bring in Fit with Joy. Joy Henry, good morning to you. Are you there?
Fit with Joy here. Thanks for having me, Coach.
So, hey, look, this whole draft thing has been coming up 3 days. It's a 3-day marathon. A lot of our listening audience may not know really what's the hype, what's it all about. And I thought it'd be a good idea if we kind of educated everybody. So we don't have a script. You know, I don't like scripts. So you tell me what is it that we should educate this listening community on around the NFL draft?
Well, let me just point to the most recent thing you said before we went to break as far as what Fallon's favorite rapper is. If my memory serves me correctly or if context clues help me, I would say Chance the Rapper. But that's for another conversation. You can verify that with her later. Now back to the topic at hand.
I will verify that. That's a good one.
Yeah, I just thought of that. That's pretty neat. So let's go back to the topic at hand as far as the NFL draft is concerned. I'm no extraordinaire. Honestly, people behind the scenes of Extra Points Radio, I get the awesome opportunity to hear from this gentleman every day about who he thinks might be a good pick. So there are so many different things that I'm learning from him. So if I want to break it down and get to the basis of it, I can ask you, like, how does one get drafted? I know there are combines. I know there are college days where there are agents and people will come and show up with cameras and clipboards. How does one go about being drafted? I know it could sound a little asinine in the sense, okay, well, you play football, of course, you do well, but what does it entail?
No, good. That's a great question. So I'm going to try and give you the short version as much as I can, but really nowadays it comes down to analytics. So it really starts in high school. If a kid is all state and goes to a Division I school, his chances of getting drafted are really, really high. So he just from sheer analytics, he gets on a radar. Now, if he goes to college and he plays college football at a really high level and he starts to win awards and that sort of thing, and hits certain benchmarks, to include bench pressing, hits certain benchmarks like all conference and that sort of thing, he gets further on the radar. And then teams just start kind of taking, it's like soup. You just kind of put some ingredients in there and see how it turns out. And in this case, the ingredients are, what does the team need and what can it afford? So once you get to the pro level, it's all about need and affordability. And now there's a rookie contract, so affordability isn't as much of an issue. I'll take a guy like Barkley. So Barkley was picked by the Giants because Barkley, if you look at the analytics, went to a D1 school, all Big Ten, gets on the radar of an NFL team. NFL team goes, okay, who needs a running back the most? Well, it happened to be the Giants who picked second. And boom, there he goes. And so he's drafted. So that's the short layman's version of it. Of course, there's a million other scenarios in there, but I want to be able to get as many of the questions in as I can. But that's really the way a person gets drafted. It actually starts about 10th grade.
Okay, well, you kind of touched on my other topic and conversation and question in a sense, but I want to keep along the lines of that. So Barkley and the reasons why he was chosen, but he was number two. I'm happy. I'm a Giants fan. We love him to come back to New York, right? He went to Pennsylvania, went to my alma mater. He's an alum just like I am of Penn State. He's back in the Empire State, and I'm sure his mind is ready to take on that challenge. Now, why wasn't he number one? I'm not, like I said, not mad. I didn't want him to go to the Browns. But how does that affect his bottom line in retrospect to money and the numbers of that?
So you asked two questions. Why didn't he go number one, and how does that affect his money? So the reason why he didn't go number one is, again, because of need and affordability. So the Browns felt like they need a marquee quarterback overall pick more than they need a running back. A running back is a dime a dozen. People buy season tickets based on the quarterback. He's going to be the face of the franchise. This franchise didn't win any games. So they need – people are not buying season tickets. They're selling their tickets. So they need to instill hope. A running back doesn't do that. That those days are gone. But a quarterback still does. So especially a quarterback with some bravado and a story, whether you like his story or not, he's got a story. So he's for interesting sports talk radio. People are going to buy season tickets or keep them. Now, how does that affect his money? It affects it in two ways. Way one is the overall pick in the draft usually is also the highest paid person out of the 32 first round guys. But in this case, because it was a quarterback, ultimately they are under a rookie contract. So they're not going to make but so much money in their first 3 years. But after those first 3 years, if both of them have the same success, because the quarterback is a quarterback, he's going to make significantly more than a running back just by position. So it affected Barkley in a way, but not so much, because there's nothing really he can do about it, not because of where he got drafted, but because of the position he plays.
Awesome.
And
so
important
you tackled,
to the team.
Oh, okay. So and you tackled a couple team. Of points. Right. So you tackled a couple of points in questions that I was going to follow up with in terms of the best assets in comparison with the applicable position. So Barkley being a running back in the latter days of that being the Curtis Martin, which his father told him to run like, and he was a Jets fan, so that's an interesting dynamic again. But the fact that he quarterback supreme in the league.
Sure.
Am I mistaken? Okay, so that definitely entails the number one, and where, again, another thing too that you tackled the point on in terms of location.
No, but
let me be clear.
Mm-hmm. If Barkley had been chosen number one by Cleveland and Mayfield had been chosen number two by the Giants, Mayfield ultimately, if they have the same performance, Mayfield's going to make more money even though he was picked number two because he's a quarterback.
Right.
And they make
right.
significantly more than running back.
Right. So the asset, in a sense, that you tackled on that point, again, with in comparison to the applicable position, quarterbacks reign supreme. And in a number of schemes, number one overall is just generally going to make more money, unless an asterisk. I think we got that. Okay, cool. So when is the most crucial time for a prospect in terms of getting drafted? So we got Shaquem Griffin. He's just hanging in the balance. He had a great NFL combine. He bench pressed 225 with a prosthetic arm like it was nothing. And he ran a 4.38 at 27 pounds? That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
What makes him still out there and not taken yet.
So we got two questions. One is, when is the most, you know, opportune time, most important time for the potential prospective draftee to get drafted? And then the other one was Shaquem Griffin specific. So the opportune time, it actually builds, right? So if you go back to what I said about the 10th grade, you got to make the varsity team at the 10th grade. Your stock goes way up if you can do that, right? So it starts kind of right there. Then you want to kind of be all state. Your stock grows. Then you want to go to – you want to get a D1 scholarship. So every time you take a step, it gets higher. The amount of importance gets higher. All the way up to the crescendo is the NFL combine. A, you want to be invited. B, you want all your times to be off the charts. You want no character issues. And then there's a lull. After the combine, there's a lull from visit, team visits and that, and you don't want something to happen where there's some gossip or bad press, like Geis from LSU got some horrible press and pushed him all the way out to the third round. Now, as far as Griffin is concerned, he's a really good football player, and he's a great story. But I hate to say it, but he's kind of like Colin Kaepernick. I think people are afraid. There's a fear to take him because he has this issue. For those of you in the listening audience who don't know who Shaquem Griffin is, he's a player who was born with a birth defect, and he doesn't have one of his hands. But he plays, you wouldn't even know it. So I think NFL teams are concerned. What if you take him and you cut him? From a PR standpoint, what does that look like? What if you pick him and you don't pay him maybe what he's worth? Is it because of his birth defect? So I think people are a little apprehensive. And then I think some people think he still can't play. I think there are NFL guys out there who still think they're not sold on him. They're not sold on a one-handed man playing this game. So I hope that answered both of those questions.
Well, yeah, it seems like a tough thing, and can't, in a way, there are things you touched on, again, and tackle points, even inside that with Colin Kaepernick, and a guy who just hurled racial expletives before, and he got traded up. So why trade? That's my next question. I mean, actually, I got a two-prong question that I want you to answer, in that off-the-field incident, in what ways that affect the potential picks, which you technically touched on, but not necessarily, because look at Baker Mayfield and look at the guy I just mentioned, or I didn't really mention him, but Josh Allen, in a sense. And then why trade? What does that do for the particular front offices of these teams?
So let me tackle the trade one first, because what you want is everyone's allotted seven. There's seven rounds in the NFL draft. So people want to stockpile draft picks, especially if you have an aging team or an expensive team that's not performing. So what you want to try and do is get more than seven. If you can get eight or nine. So what teams do sometimes is they'll take a pick. Let's say like the Redskins last night had the 42nd pick in the third round. What they wanted to do was they wanted to get an extra pick. So they cut a deal with San Francisco. San Francisco was picking 59th, but San Francisco wanted a certain player. And said, okay, you want him? You can pick in our slot, but you need to give us some picks. So San Francisco gave up and one of their later round picks to the Redskins so that they could move up. So that's why teams slide back. So there was a rumor that Cleveland was going to slide back, that they were going to give up their number one pick, Baker Mayfield, give him up to get like a number two and number maybe 15 in the first round, which would have been great. That's a great deal. So that's why teams move up and down like that. Now, as far as you asked about why the character
thing. The off-the-field incident, right, because, I mean, let me just say a little bit what you talked about Colin Kaepernick. And, I mean, Josh Allen, I mean, but then of course, the bottom line. I know you're going to talk about the money and what really generates that for the owners.
Well, yeah, money has something to do with it, but not as much for rookies. But really, if you just think about your own workplace environment, there are some people that are treated differently. So in the case of Josh Allen, people think that he is a franchise quarterback, meaning he's going to be the face of the franchise. He's going to be the highest paid player on the team. He's going to lead them to a Super Bowl. He's going to do all their media. They're going to sell jerseys off of him left and right. Geis, the running back from LSU, is a dime a dozen. He's a field hand. You could find him anywhere. You could find him at any D3, any D2, any historically black college. So you're not going to step out there and take a chance on a bad character guy like Geis, who I listened to an interview of him last night when the Redskins finally did select him. He sounds like a good guy to me. He said, I don't know where these rumors came from. So sometimes what happens is, and it's a dirty business, but sometimes other agents of other running backs will float rumors so that their running back can get picked before the other running back. And, you know, and so, I, you know, that could have been what happened to Geis, or Geis could just be a really bad character guy. We won't know. So the Redskins decided to select him. We'll see what happens. We'll see, especially when he's away from home and gets money in his pocket. We'll see what happens.
Well, great talking point, because some people floated that rumor mill around about Josh Allen and trying to get, hopefully, him for their team as a quarterback. Hopefully he slides down and then somebody else gets him as a quarterback. But you definitely gave me a great transition to my next question. So the segue here is, so we talk about quarterbacks. They reign supreme, and Josh Allen, he's going to be the face of it, and he's going to have the ability to sell jerseys regardless of what he said. I mean, he learned, they said as a child, he did it, and all this stuff, yada, yada, yada. That's New York for blah, 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 right? Now we have RG3. It's a location, the best places to play according to some systems in their skill set. You, as I'll mention, prophetic, said Lamar Jackson, quarterback, Heisman Trophy, 17, not this year because Baker Mayfield is, but the ability for him to create plays and use his legs is going to go behind RG3, who's in Baltimore. So what are the best places for these particular quarterbacks to play? Again, I'm asking so many different elements of these questions because it's complex. You just said Josh Allen, who had this off-the-field incident, and he still got traded up for. Colin Kaepernick is doing things about the injustice of his people, and he's off the field because of his quote-unquote off-the-field incident. Josh Allen elevated.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick.
Right. So let me.
Exited.
Right. So let me address Josh Allen, then I'll address the whole Ravens quarterback situation. So Josh Allen is an unproven commodity. Josh Allen is on potential right now. And the potential, his potential is higher than Colin Kaepernick's. It's higher. So they're willing to take the chance on people saying, oh, that's not fair. You're treating him a certain way, different from Colin Kaepernick, da, da, da. His potential is higher, and they're going to go with that. Now, if he comes out and lays an egg, they're going to cut it, right? But right now, they think he's the savior of a franchise, and they're going to throw him right out there. And believe me, if he starts 3-0, no one's going to remember what he said as a teenager. They're going to be saying they need to renegotiate his rookie contract. Whereas Colin Kaepernick, the NFL feels like we've seen his best, which his best was leading his team to the Super Bowl, by the way. That's pretty good. But he didn't win it. That's what they'll say. And then they'll just look at the dollars and cents of having a guy like that on my roster versus not. That's what they're going to look at. So as far as the Ravens, now I'm going to blow you away with this answer. It's way bigger than RG3, Lamar, and Joe Flacco. This coaching staff, first of all, the general manager, this for him, Ozzie Newsome, is a Hall of Famer. Ozzie Newsome, this is a legacy pick, meaning this is my last pick. I want this pick to go 10, 15 years, win Super Bowls, and you guys will always remember me. So it's a legacy pick that he picked Lamar Jackson. Now, the other thing is, this coach is embattled right now. This coach, if he doesn't make the playoffs, probably will be fired. He'll get another job because he's a great coach. But this owner does not have that type of patience. So this owner's, you know, put it on the market that, hey, you got to win. This quarterback, watch how it trickles down. General manager, head coach, quarterback. This quarterback, Joe Flacco, has not lived up to his contract. He looks old. He's playing poorly. They're trying to replace Joe Flacco. Robert Griffin III, hey, we're going to give you another breath of life that you might be able to help us out and be the starter. But while you're doing it, someone who's your prototype, who's just like you, and Lamar Jackson. And for Lamar Jackson, he's not going to play a down next year. They don't, at least they don't want him to. But what they want him to do is learn and grow and be prepared to compete for Flacco's spot or RG3's spot next season, which he would get, and he would go on and be their franchise quarterback. So that's how that works.
Wow. Wow. That is mind-blowing. What a point.
Right. So you see how that was a much bigger
tier. Yes. The legacy.
Right.
The legacy, because literally, in a sense, you want to talk about being not mentioned, going from this high esteem on top of the mountain and then just falling completely face flat in RG3 and them fitting him into a system, him being needed, and just even high level. Like you said, the legacy. RG3 had a legacy in Washington, and it's now being resurrected in a sense, hopefully in Baltimore, in some way, shape, or form. Now, when we talk about the fact that these guys were relevant, let's talk about Mr. Irrelevant. Actually, before we talk about Mr. Irrelevant, and before I ask you to further delve into that topic, because you touched base on it earlier in the show and doing the PATs, point after touchdown, I want to talk about the rounds that generate better overall in the long haul. You also talked about that. You talked about now we're in the rounds where you'll see more production. You'll see that they actually make a difference and a differential in terms of where it's going to be, not just the one and the two picks, because sometimes they could flop, look at Trubisky, right? But you have the opportunities, and look at 2017 with Kareem Hunt and Kamara. What do you think about that particularly?
Well, let me address the flop comment that you made on Trubisky, because it depends on who you ask. if you ask some people, he's a flop that he didn't start on day one. Like, he was the number one pick, first round pick. He needed to be starting on day one. If you ask other fans, they're going to say, we're glad that he started a few games and won a few games. So he's not a flop. So flop doesn't really happen until over time. You know, over time, you'll know whether or not that pick was the right pick. And it's usually after your third season, when your rookie contract is over, whether or not they re-sign you and pay you big bucks or they cut you. So that's really how you know. It takes some time to know whether or not the person was a flop. Now, the other thing is, you asked about the rounds. So people don't know this, but they get all hyped up off of the first round picks. 50% of the first round picks don't make it. They are flops. 50%. Who was the overall number one pick last year? Miles Garrett, right? Texas A&M, DN. Some said he'll be the greatest DN of all time. He did nothing, right? And
he got
Cleveland's going
to get injured,
right?
I know
he got injured. He got injured, but he played a few games. But he did. You know, he's the number one overall pick, and he didn't play like it. So when I say then, there's rounds one where you get 15 minutes between teams to make your selection, and then in round two you get 10 minutes. Today, in round 3 through 7, the minutes shrink. So round 3, you get 5 minutes. And then all the way down to round 7, you get 1 minute to pick a player till you get to Mr. Irrelevant. Now, the reason why I said rounds 3 through 7 are the most important is because that's where you get your lineman. That's where you get your running back that nobody knows who he is. That's where you get your Amendola and Julian Edelman and people like that. That's where you get your special teams guys. So while the quarterback and the left tackle and the rush end make the bulk of the money, guys in round 3 through 7 who make up your linemen and your utility players. One more thing I want to add to that answer. On Sunday, when the draft is over, this doesn't stop. NFL front offices are open all day for business on Sunday because they're signing free agents who didn't get drafted. And they're offering daily contracts to just come out and work out and hang around until we cut you. You know, they let you know up front, you got a long shot to make the team, but we need some extra receivers so that we don't kill our starters. So if you want to catch a few balls in practice, you know, kickers get this a lot. You want to kick a little bit so we don't wear our kicker's leg out, have at it. So that's how that's how that works. So Sunday actually is just as important a day. And a lot of my friends have been those guys, free agent guys that got picked up, you know, the day after the draft and made the team, by the way, and made the team. So,
so in a sense, great they're question. Mr. Extra relevant. After the draft.
I could take another question, or I could take a quick break and go right into the celebrity fitness segment. Which one you want to do?
Let's do a quick. You talked about Mr. Relevant. I just added to it with the free agents. Quickly, uh-huh. I'm going to do a little lightning round like they would do in the last couple of rounds of this draft. A point, emphasis on point, the top three winners so far and expectations for next season. And the disappointment, emphasis on point. Three winners, three losers, expectations for next season so far.
I think the Rams have done real well in the first two rounds. They've become a more explosive team. I think the Rams are one of them. I think the fact that the Giants got some offensive linemen and they did get probably the most explosive individual player. This is a team sport, the ultimate team sport, but they got probably the best individual player. So clearly they've improved their team. And I think Cleveland. Even though I'm not a fan of Baker Mayfield by no means, they needed a quarterback bad, and they got one. They could have picked any of them, but they got one. So I think Cleveland's
okay.
Improved themselves.
Great appointment. Disappointment.
Disappointment? I think the Raiders, they drafted somebody that was unknown and it was booed. So I think the Raiders. I think the Cowboys, because Jason Witten didn't tell them he was going to retire. So now they're scrambling to find a tight end. I can't think of a third one. Philadelphia's had a good draft. I can't think of a third one.
Well, there you have it. Those appointments, we'll see how they fare next season.
You got it. You got it. Celebrity fitness or something or other. I don't know anything about that one. But I'll do that, and I'll be right back. On Extra Point
Radio. What the fit?
I know, Chuck, we need money, and time is money, and we need time right now. So we'll cut Chuck a little bit short and mention one thing. Joy had mentioned that Griffin was selected by at number 120 by the Seattle Seahawks, where he'll join his brother, who I assume already plays there. Again, this is a project pick. I do not believe this team is sold. I think they're hopeful.
May I interrupt? Had that as a mock draft. My apologies. That is premature.
Okay.
That is premature.
Okay, so he's not been picked. But it would be a great story. You know, it'd be a great story. But teams are going to be apprehensive. It'll be interesting to see where he lands. I hope he doesn't just sit in New York all day and wait, because that would be bad. So tell us about this celebrity fitness thing that you heard about.
So, yeah, pretty much Kevin Hart, funny guy. Actually, I ran with him before, not alongside of him, of course, but he had this particular program with Nike. Nike has this multiple city 5-mile runs where you get to the stores and you get to wear their sneakers and try them out. What a great marketing tool. And you pretty much just go out there and stay fit in that sense. And Kevin Hart took to it, and that was started a couple of years ago. Where body and trying to get to the next level, and he's a comedian. So in a sense, it's like, what do those two things have in common? And I like to say, when I'm laughing, my abdomen is intact. So hey, he put those two together, his two passions, and now he's putting it into a YouTube series called What the Fit. Yeah, WTF, but in a sense, in the proper, healthy way. And what it pretty much entails is, go ahead and ask me a question because I know it's interesting.
No, I had never heard. I mean, I know I saw him running, and I see him out and about doing fitness stuff all the time. Are there any other celebrities? It sounds like he's the head of it, but are there any other celebrities that have latched on to this this program?
Well, so particularly, this is his series. It's a YouTube series of him taking his celebrity friends around to different workouts. And ones you wouldn't think about, not just your typical, I'm going to go to a gym and do a Zumba class or spin class, more of a little twist to it. And, of course, there will be little jokes in between, just peculiar things, and that pretty much is what this boils down to. So what's the fit? It's like, what are you, like, what? That's how you're going to work out today? Hey, whatever floats your boat. And then, of course, his comedic level that's been a phenomenon for everyone, and they love him. It just fits right in line, pun intended.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Ask me a question.
What I was going to say was, all you have to do is go on to YouTube and just kind of what you put in this.
Yeah,
Kevin
so you type in What the Fit in YouTube. It's a series. He actually has his own network, I believe. It's called Laugh Out Loud, so you can also access it there. But mainly for those who aren't as, adept to get any, just go on YouTube, type in the search box, What the Fit, and Kevin Hart should pop up. Or you could type in Joy Henry, Tough Enough, and you'll see My Fitness Element. But that's another day, another time we could talk about that. But let's talk about celebrities, people are actually getting money. So what he does, like I said, is unconventional workout regimes, and he'll bring his celebrity friends along. So he went with Chloe to do goat yoga. And there's so many different forms of yoga. I didn't realize it. And one of them is goat yoga. I talked about face yoga the other day. And in a sense, he goes along and tries these workouts. And, of course, like I said, hilarity ensues. But particularly one episode that I found out to be really, really funny and a good workout because I saw them physically sweating. Now, the yoga, it was more silly, the goats jumping on their back. He's making jokes about watching his back and they trying to jack him and all this stuff. But Tiffany Haddish, she is hilarious in her own sense. It was just two competing laughter like scales for me. Like I was clutching my six-pack abs. You know, I had my hand, my fingers on each one, like trying to contain them because this was just too funny. It just the fact that she's a coupon queen. She's been endorsed by Groupon for telling that magical story of her utilizing the service to go out with Will and Jada. And so as I'm talking about What the Fit and I'm giving you that understanding of Tiffany Haddish and her coupon queen extravaganza, this also gives you guys the opportunity to get fit with Joy and extra points at sponsorship. You know, I'll put that out there. Okay, now back to regularly scheduled programming. So it gave the opportunity for her to go along with Kevin, and there from that, she saw that she could get a Groupon to go and pretty much roller skate. And Kevin Hart, as he'll make the jokes about black people and not skating, ice skating, roller skating, so now he's put up to the test, and you really do get a great workout from roller skating. And so if you watch the show, you'll realize, like me, you know, the six-pack might come in from that, or you know, you just might get so much of, if you're a couch potato, some fun and some justice from watching it.
That's good advice. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm sure a lot of our listening audience, you know, may not have been aware of Kevin Hart and his fitness of What the Fit. So that's good. I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. I know I'm going to pull it up and I'm going to see. I'm sure it has some comedic sound, like just based on the anecdotal stories you were telling, that it has that same Kevin Hart comedic appeal. So I don't think you can go wrong with that. And of course, if you're trying to get healthier and fitter, You can never go wrong
with
that. So
listen,
good deal.
Listen,
good deal.
Fit with joy, the pointillism that I just displayed and painted a picture, it wouldn't even give you the hilarity that ensued. I was not expecting that. It was just not only like, okay, people think working out is tough, it's not fun, and I think that's what he's trying to get at. He wants you to see there are different ways to work out and then forget how much pain you're in, and you'll see the results because you got out there and you enjoyed yourself.
There you go. Cool. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, let me get into the 2-minute warning here, and then into the prediction, because I got an update on predictions, so I got to get into that. But 2-minute warnings are pretty easy again today. You know, this past week, you know, I buried my grandfather, went to that funeral, 100 years old, and I just think about the amount of wisdom that that man had in his head and his heart after living 100 years. It's just amazing to me, and I'll never be able to have that much wisdom. But the wisdom I have, I'm glad I got it. I'm gonna put it to good use. And I just encourage each and every one of you out there, for every minute, for every moment, for every second that you're alive, you're getting wiser and wiser. So put it to good use. What wisdom. It's priceless. So, hey, kudos to James Howard out there. So predictions now. We've got the good news is we finished 3-1 last week, 32-30. So above 500 now, above 500. I remember when I was just trying to get to 500. So, Joe, I want you to join me in this one here. It's going to be an all-NBA prediction. I just got 3 games. The first game is Milwaukee versus Boston. What say you on that one?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say that I met the gentleman that is your grandfather in heaven. And say that I'm in agreement with everything you said. To get to that point in life, 100, it's a century people would have strived for. So I think he lived a great life, and he produced a wonderful grandson. So kudos to you as well and the Howard family.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah. So the prediction.
This Milwaukee and – yeah, what do you think? I mean – I know that they got the Greek freak, they call him. I know that.
Yeah.
Who wins this game?
The gritty greens. I'm not sure. You know, you got the Bucks, and then you got the Irish and all this stuff. Kyrie Irving sitting down, and it's showing really, I don't know how much of an effect he would have had on the series. I think the Greek freak might be able to do something. I'm going to lean to them because, again, I'm a New York Knicks fan, so I can't go with the Boston Celtics. So I'm going to go with the Bucks.
I got you. And, I think the Celtics are an overall better team. I think that the Milwaukee Bucks are a one-man gang. And that one man ain't LeBron, so I ain't rooting for him. I'm down with Boston, so I think the Celtics win that one. Next game
you
is
do have
an
interesting story. Do I invite the audience a little bit of that? The 10-point buck and the win. I mean, you, sir, you beat them. But I think the Bucks beat the Celtics. But Keith Howard could beat 10-point Bucks.
For the listening audience who's totally confused as to what she's alluding to, I did have a run-in with 5 deer a couple years ago in my car, and I killed all 5 deer. So if you want to know the story, you'll have to email me at coach@extrapointsllc.com. That story's been told over 100 times, and it never gets old. But it was Coach Howard 5, Deer 0. So let me move to New Orleans at Golden State. What say you on New Orleans and Golden State?
Golden State. They're just cheesy. You know, if you play the game, any – video game back in the day on Sega Genesis and then Super Nintendo, and somebody just has this ultimate cheese factor where they just start shooting from half court and then the ball lights up and it's on fire. I forgot which game that was called, NBA Jams or something. Somehow, shape, or form, you don't have Steph Curry. I'm not sure when he's going to be back, but the Golden State Warriors are just going to go through this series in a fury. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, I mean, he's They had a series where they played them before, and they haven't fared well. I think they only got 1 out of the 4. So anyone would imagine.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that. I think Golden State is really kind of sleepwalking through these early rounds because they know they're going to be in a heavyweight fight with the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. So with or without Steph Curry, I think this is a no-brainer, and I got Golden State winning that too. And then the last one is Cleveland, Bron Bron, and in Indiana, the pesky Indiana team. What Pacers? What do you got in that one? What say you?
Wow, they were able to force a game seven, and LeBron James, he was so excited when he was able to get to the next game, game six, in a sense, and he stood on the scorer's table and all that, and starting to make people like question, like, okay, the shot was great, Michael Jordan-esque, but then you shouldn't be really so excited to be getting to the next round one against, like you said, a pesky Pacers team. I don't even know. My heart tells me I want Cleveland because I love LeBron James, and I want him to avenge the loss to the Golden State Warriors. But then you got Oladipo. You got this team that is just really, really going after it. So I'm just going to go with my heart, okay? I'm going to go with Cleveland. I think LeBron James, he's going to really step it up another gauge and go for it. And so LeBron James in this one. Oh, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course.
Well, I like, and that'll be a good two-minute warning for next week to go with your heart and go for it. That's a good thing to say. I'm going to go with LeBron James because I'm going to go with my brain and logic. I don't think the Pacers are pesky. I don't. I think they're just that good. But it's LeBron James and it's game seven. There is no way that I'm going to bet against LeBron James in game seven. There are a couple athletes out there you don't bet against: Tom Brady, LeBron James, and Ric Flair. And so I'm not going to go against that guy. So I got Cleveland winning that. I got Cleveland winning that, but it'll be, you know, I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a nail biter, but at the end of the day, he's arguably the GOAT in basketball, and so you don't want to go against the GOAT. Hey, we got three extra minutes here before we sign off. First of all, thank Fit with Joy for coming in and chatting with us and educating on the NFL draft. Let me give a website out, www.extrapointsllc.com. Joy, did you have any other loose questions out there around the draft that maybe a person's hanging on to out there and you think that they would want to know? I can answer it. We got two minutes.
The element of preparation, what is going to get them that extra dollar or extra push-up in the draft? I know track and field has a foundation for the 40. Where people prepare with some all-time greats, you got Michael Johnson. Does that really take effect in the bottom line and what people will see in the agents and what they want to see, what they want to enlighten me if you could gather anything from that question?
So the long answer is your complete body of work in your high school and college career, specifically your college career. The short answer is your 40 time and your bench. I mean, those are gold standards. If you bench 225 times, 22 times, you're going to get drafted. The studies show if you can do that, the chances of you getting drafted are way higher than not getting drafted. If you can do it 30 times, you're going to get drafted higher, and so on and so on. So that's the long and short of it. I mean, that's it right there. So I appreciate that last one. We were right up on time. As always, the extra point is up.
And pointedly good.
It's one a long way to right center.